It's time for Heat Wave Sports. Sit back and relax as you take a tour around the world of sports each and every Saturday and Sunday night. And now, your hosts for Heat Wave Sports, Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
And it's a wonderful Sunday night here in Las Vegas. Welcome to Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Tim Unglesby, Ari Platinum inside the awesome Lotus Broadcast Studios. And we are 1 week away. I've probably said this, Ari, for 10 years now. We are officially, at this time next week, there'll be a new champion of the NFL. And I've said that many times, prefacing before the Patriots have won a title. What do you think about that?
I hope it's not them. That's really all I got.
I'm gonna put the C-win on you then.
My analysis for that.
You just solidified that. Let's bring in my co-host and partner, Sports Garden Network's own, Tom Barton, Sports.com's own, Tom Barton. Tommy, 1 week away.
Yeah, I'm getting pumped up. You know, it's the Super Bowl for me is always interesting, Tim, because it's always one of those games that I look at, and more times than not, I go, yeah, I don't have a good feel on this game one way or the other. I'm not going to load up on this game one way or the other. This year, it's a little bit different. This year, I'm feeling pretty interested in this game. I believe that if this game was on a regular Sunday card, not only would it be the highlight game, obviously, I'd be having a play on it. And that's rare for a Super Bowl, because when you dwindle down to now, the lines are usually so dead accurate. But I think there's a mistake, so I'm pretty pumped up.
Well, you and I had talked earlier this week, and you said that the line hit three for what, about 10 minutes?
17 minutes the line hit three. And then since we've spoken, by the way, it hit three again for a very short amount of time. They're teasing the three. Now, I've spoken to some sportsbook directors, and that's basically what they're doing. They want to see exactly how much money, you know, will come in right now. Where you stand right now, are William Hill in Atlantic City, William Hill in the Meadowlands, and William Hill in parts of Las Vegas. This immediate moment, you get threes out there, Tim. Minus three. You could get a three right now at Station's Casino. So they're teasing it. And then if too much comes in, they're pulling it immediately off. Right now, though, this very moment, you could find a three at William Hill, and you could find a three at Station.
Well, I mean, contrary to popular belief, this is not a sports betting show. But since you brought it up, Tom, and you are, you know, that is your craft, just basically break down, and I know it may seem like a stupid question, but I'm sure there's listeners out there that really don't understand the swing of money that a 2.5 to a 3 can make.
Well, the biggest thing that everybody has to realize is, and I've heard seasoned professionals, quote-unquote, media types, the biggest thing is this. Listen, this is not what Las Vegas or the lines makers around the country or whoever thinks is going to win the game. That's a misnomer. It's just not flat out true. It's where do they think they can get the money coming from? So you have to get to a point. Most of the time during the regular season, most of the time, it's a large amount of money, a large number a large lump sum to get the move even a half a point. We're talking, you know, in most cases, hundreds of thousands, even if not $1 million. But it depends on the level of the game. You know, if I walk up to a counter and I have 50 or 60 grand and I put it on a Harvard-Yale basketball game in the middle of January, I might move that line because there's not a lot of volume on that game. I might move that line to move the Super Bowl. Unprecedented. Now, in this case, though, it wasn't necessarily only the money, Tim. To take the New England Patriots from a minus one, a plus one all the way up to a minus -2, -2.5, and now the -3. 88% of all tickets bet right now are on New England. That's the number of tickets. 96% of all the action, meaning all the money line action, all the teasers, all the reverses, all the parlays, all of that, 96 is on the Patriots. Now, I broke this down on my show, at my New York show, Sports Garden. I broke this down and I explained. The L.A. Rams fans are coming. You live in Vegas, Tim. You understand. For how many years have you lived there? 20 years. You understand. When do the L.A. fans come? You know, Friday night, Saturday morning, right? So they'll be coming. They'll be coming in droves. But right now, the East Coast is pushing. Remember, we have a new betting rules. The East Coast is pushing this action. The East Coast is pushing this line to where it is. You've got to take into account where we are, where there is betting allowed in West Virginia and in Mississippi. Not that that is going to swing the line, but New Jersey certainly is. You know, New Jersey certainly is going to swing the line, and a lot of people are banking on the Patriots here on the East Coast.
When you look at the teasers, though, you said mention the teasers, which a lot of times is where these books would get killed on. The tease is to go the other way, correct, Tom? Take the 7 points, you get 10.
Well, that's not what it's been, though. I mean, you know, you're a teaser guy.
Yeah.
Going, yeah, listen, you get 7, you get 9.5 or almost 10 with the Rams now. Wow, that is an attractive number. What a lot of people are doing are they're taking New England plus the 3, right? You take New England plus the points, and they feel good. Most people are going New England. Most people are going on the under right now, which is surprising as well. Again, I talked to a sportsbook director that was stunned. This number opened up at 58. It was only 58 for a very brief moment, and it fell down to 57.5. It was 57.5, and he expected, fully expected, this line to go up. He said, I think the game goes off at about a 58, maybe even a 58.5. People love offense. We know what's going to happen. And the line has dropped all the way down to 56.5 in some spots, Tim. So, you know, they're predicting things. They're trying to judge the public. They are normally very good at their job. But make no mistake about it, they messed up here. This is a full-on mistake. They made a mistake in the biggest game of the year. They made a huge mistake in the playoffs here, in the Super Bowl.
You talk about the total that these two squads averaging right around over 60 points a game, Tom. So there's some movement there if you're looking at going by averages, but I guess I'll break it down this way, and I know, you know, this Saturday we'll really get into everything we can talk about. Do you see a high-scoring affair here?
You know, I haven't fully finished yet. Somebody asked me, you're a sports talk host. You're a handicap. Who do you like? I said, I got 8 days. I wouldn't give you that number within 8 days. I can tell you my initial thoughts is that the under is probably the right play, Tim. Only because I've watched the Super Bowl. I've watched teams be tight. They come out of the gate sluggish. But I look at these two teams, and especially when you have the Patriots, I don't think they are going to be tight. I think if you are thinking about the Patriots, and the Patriots generally, go back and look at their Super Bowls. They haven't played in a Super Bowl that was decided by more than 8 points. Okay, they usually play close. They usually play. But this is also a team that knows how young the Rams are. You're not playing Philly like last year, where you have an experienced coach. You have an experienced, even though he wasn't big experience for the big game, but an experienced coach, an experienced quarterback. You're playing a very unique situation. You're playing, a very young coach, a very young quarterback. You're playing in a situation where you're not sure how is Todd Gurley healthy or ineffective? Are you buying the story that he was ineffective? I mean, think about what the Rams really are right now. So I don't think that the Patriots want to go out there and run the ball and be sluggish and be in a situation, but I think it's just natural. I think it's just natural in the Super Bowl, especially two teams that haven't faced each other. coordinators that know who they're going up against on the other side. I think it's just natural to play to the under.
So this week that just finished, really the beginnings of the rumbling as you have what is essentially a bye week, Tom, until this upcoming Sunday, where this week, you know, the teams will actually get into game preparation. But what I saw was the usual storylines you always see from Super Bowl media week. The talk of Brady, obviously, and he basically came out and said he's coming back. You saw a lot of onus on Jared Goff, looking for that next quarterback star. Here the media is, but what I liked was the two pep rallies. I thought were interesting. McVay getting his crowd pumped up, but nothing compared to what you saw there in Foxborough, Tom. Almost 40,000 people out there to see that.
Amazing, right? I thought people are bored of the Patriots, right?
Mm-hmm.
That narrative. Oh, yeah, well, you know, they're there every year. Like them or hate them, and I generally disagree with them most times, but like them or hate them, there's nothing like Boston fans, you know. Boston, New York, Philadelphia fans, just a different breed. They just are. You could be as excited as you want and you know, have all of the visuals and just have craziness, but it's not the same as just having that rabid fan base. And I'm sorry L.A. hasn't gotten it. I spoke to Jay Paris, who writes for Forbes.com for L.A. Right? He writes for L.A. Sports on Forbes.com. And basically, we had the conversation about, has L.A. even embraced, does L.A. even realize that they have a team? And he kind of joked. He said, yeah, about 3 weeks ago, they said, oh, look, we have a good team, so let's be involved. There is that difference when you're in L.A. and you can go to the beach, you can go to you know, Hollywood, you can do different things, as opposed to sitting around, you know, freezing your butt off on the Northeast and thinking that everyone's against you. I mean, they really, and I did an entire show on this, they really, really have people believing, Tim, that they are the underdogs. This is the underdog story. And their fan base believe it. And they're going to unite. They're going to get together. And what we see, you know, for a pep rally is pure, just great fans. Like them or not, it's just great fans.
I had mentioned Jared Goff and a lot of the medias surrounding him. You remember, Tom, now, the guy is a couple years into the league, struggled as a rookie. I want to know the pressure. I want to know how he can deal with this pressure, Tom. That's the big key here. If they had played today as opposed to next week, in my mind, it might have been a lot easier for him. I think the extra week hurts somebody like Jared Goff.
Oh, I could not agree more, man. You know, Jared Goff is a player to me that I've gone up and down about. I didn't believe he should have been the first pick in the draft. I was pretty loud and adamant about that. Then the first year, I was kind of vindicated. I was going, yeah, here we go. You know, here we go. This is what I was afraid of. Year two, he started getting a little bit better. Still didn't fully believe. And then there were parts this year. There were times, even late last year, I grabbed him on my fantasy team. I liked what he was doing. I don't believe this. Here's the thing with Jared Goff. I know you're talking about pressure. I think that Jared Goff, Sean McVay, and the Rams organization know one thing about Jared Goff. They know that he cannot win a game on his own. He can't win a game for you. Now, can he have good stretches? Yes. Can he have a good overall game and a good stat line? Yes. Jared Goff's not going to win this game for you, though. You hope that he just doesn't lose it. And that's a difference between a game manager. I'm not calling him a game manager, because he certainly isn't. But he's not a guy. Ask any Rams fan right now. Do you want to be in a situation where, you're down by three, you are on your own 30-yard line, and there's a minute 51 left with Jared Goff at the helm? Is that the situation you want? And you ask a Ram fan that's an honest Ram fan, they're going to go, yeah, no, I don't want that. Go ask an honest Patriot fan. What are they going to say to him? Absolutely. Give me the ball with Tom Brady with a minute and 50 to go, with a chance to win it again. Now, again, I'm not saying that Jared Goff has to be Tom Brady, but I always do the rule of threes in the NFL. And the rule of threes is you have the top 10 quarterbacks, the middle 10 quarterbacks, and the bottom 10 quarterbacks. He's not the top 10, not the bottom 10. So he's somewhere in the middle. That's okay. You can win being somewhere in the middle, but die with somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're not that guy that your teammates lean on. You're not that guy that the fans lean on until you do it. I mean, until you do it. It's no shame in this time of his career, year three of his career, there is no shame being outside the top 10 in the league, okay? But there's also the idea of you can't go out there and win it. And if Todd Gurley isn't going to step up, and if Todd Gurley isn't the man, we're going to know it very quickly, and then it becomes the Jared Goff show. I think the adjustments at halftime are everything for this. If the Rams come out and Todd Gurley's healthy and Todd Gurley's running like Todd Gurley runs, I think the Patriots can be in some trouble. But if he is in any way ineffective, in any way looks like he has for the last couple of weeks, and Jared Goff has to step up and be the guy, I think the Rams are in a lot of trouble. And Belichick's going to know that. He's going to know that after the first quarter. Do I have to game plan for Gurley or do I have to game plan for Goff? I think Gurley is a massive, massive key to this game.
Looking at the Patriots, am I mistaken in that, at least I haven't read or heard this, do people not assume that the Patriots still have kind of a chip on their shoulder after last year, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. People forget about that. I mean, one of the big reasons in the preseason, I took the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. You know, we sat here and talked about it. I said, I think Drew Brees is winning the MVP. I think the Saints are going to the Super Bowl. And one of my big reasons was their emotional mindset. Their mindset of the idea of you can't lose like that and then not come out the next year completely fired. You can't come out the next year and not be completely just pumped up and ready to go. People forget, because the Patriots had so much success and they've had so much go right for them, people tend to forget, wait a minute, this is still a Patriots team that did not end their year last year the right way. They didn't finish their goal last year. They didn't get to the top of the mountain. And as a matter of fact, they lost in a heartbreaking fashion. They lost in a miserable, heartbreaking fashion last year. People seem to forget about that. Well, don't forget about it tomorrow or Sunday, because this is a team that will feed off of it. For real or for not. You know, I'm not telling you that it's necessarily a real emotion. It could be a manufactured emotion. But they really believe we earned this. Everyone's against us. Last year they were against us. This year they're against us. I mean, there is something to be said for that, and there really is. And yeah, I completely think there's so many chips on their shoulders, so many chips right now on Tom Brady's shoulder. It's hard to count. Where, you know, this is a guy that 20 years later is still drawing inspiration off of not being drafted. You know, high. You don't think that he's going to have inspiration of we lost the Super Bowl last year? You know, you have that emotion. You have the idea that everyone's, you know, on the young coordinator, and Belichick wants to prove that wrong. You have everybody on the idea of, well, this is L.A., and we're bosses. We want to prove that wrong. Well, you know, you have the idea that maybe Gronk is retiring. Well, go do this one for Gronk. They have a lot of chips on their shoulder, Tim. You said the exact words, took the words out of my mouth. They got a lot to play for here.
And that was my initial assessment after pretty much the last quarter of the season. You go through the playoffs. There's always going to be Patriot haters. There's always going to be Brady haters, Belichick haters, whatever. They have an opinion. It's wrong, but they're going to voice it. So that's fine. For me, when I look at both teams and I try to find what's the motivation, right, Tom? It's easy to say, well, the Super Bowl, that's enough motivation, right? No, you just listed everything, and you know, you go back to saying the guy still has a chip on his shoulder for not being drafted earlier than he was. How about the chip that you're looking at, as you said on the show last week, the best professional sports athlete playing right now has a handful of rings and still doesn't get the credit he deserves because you have idiot hosts out there claiming that because of this, because of that, oh, he didn't win those. Vinatieri won those. I mean, just ridiculous statements. Vindication for this man will eventually be when his bust is in the Hall of Fame. We understand that. But before he gets there, Tom, and God willing, he stays healthy to do it, he's going to try to add rings to that collection and just rub it in the faces of all these people, so-called experts, media, whatever you want to call them. It's like a mission for Tom Brady, and he does it with a smile on his face.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw the video of Brady and Gronk after the game. I don't know if you saw that online, Tim. Brady and Gronk took a video walking to the bus, didn't say a word. Brady just kind of, smirked and shrugged. I know, listen, smirking nowadays, could offend so many people. But Brady smirked, kind of shrugged his shoulders like, we did it again. And Gronk, he panned it over to Gronk. Gronk smiled, kind of shrugged his shoulders like, well, guys, you hate us. We're horrible. We're falling off the cliff. We're old. Oh, well, we're here again. Deal with it. You know, and there is that attitude that you can rub people the wrong way. I get it, okay? But it's also the attitude of, yeah, it's us against you. But we know everybody hates us. Oh, well. Oh, well. And that does you well. And by the way, I didn't only say that Tom Brady's the greatest athlete that's playing right now. He's the greatest athlete that any of us have ever watched. Ever. Any of us. Unless we have, a 101-year-old person out there that actually watched Babe Ruth, he's the greatest athlete that any of us have ever watched, period. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the most accomplished, for sure, but he's the greatest athlete. There are maybe three or four that are even in the conversation, and I'll poke holes in any one of them. You guys want to give us a call, 876-1340, or give us, you can tweet us out at Tom Barton Sports or at HW Sports over on Twitter, 876-1340. He's the greatest athlete anyone has ever seen that is listening to this show.
Tom, give me your we know the Patriots are going to have some trickery probably involved with McDaniels and Belichick there. We know that the option of basically throwing to anybody that's eligible to catch a ball on the field will be used. What's the game plan for New England here? Is it just basically taking a page out of what we've seen in the past? Because I know you cannot compare defenses KC to LA. So what do the Patriots do here? Do they exploit and avoid the middle of that Ram defense? Instead of exploiting it, they avoid it?
Well, this is the story of Achilles, okay? We all know what Achilles' heel is. Do you know where the story came from? The story of Achilles is very simple. His mother held the back of his Achilles tendon, dipped him into a pool, which basically made him invincible. But what happened? That piece of the Achilles tendon was dipped in, was held by his mother, and that was his vulnerable spot. Well, when you're talking about the Rams, and we go back to how the Rams were constructed, Aaron Donald up front, now they got Ndamukong Suh. We got Talib, and they got Peters. Okay, they got Jared Goff, number one pick at quarterback. You got Todd Gurley, tremendous first-round pick at running back. You got the receivers. They added Brandon Cooks. They went out and got offensive linemen and Whitworth. So every single position on the field, Tim, is fantastic. Even their kicker is an all-pro kicker. Every single position on the field is fantastic, except their mother, right, held the position. They held the position that they just, not only did they not improve, they actually got worse at. And that's the linebacking core. This linebacking core, when we sat down, and I'm a guy that has a futures play. I took them 3 days before Ndamukong Suh. Well, and you know that, too, because I asked you, hey, can you get me the tickets, right? Mm-hmm. 3 days before Ndamukong Suh signed on, I took the Rams to win it all. And my one concern, why I didn't take them on the show over the course of the summer, I came out here, I told you guys, I like the Rams, are building something. Then they signed Suh, and I felt better about it. Then they signed Talib, I felt better about it. And then Peters and whatnot. One of my reasons why I switched to the Saints is, I said, man, I think that linebacking core is going to take advantage of that. They're going to be rough. The New England Patriots might be the worst matchup for that linebacking core. But the problem is, can Tom Brady handle that upfront pressure? We have watched through Brady's career, if there is a negative at all, and there are very, very few, you've got to look hard and deep for a negative against Tom Brady. A negative against Tom Brady is twofold. Number one, he can't handle up-the-middle pressure. And he doesn't like pressure when it comes in the form of just a straight pass rush. You blitz Tom Brady, he's going to find that empty the receiver. He's going to be able to pick up your blitz before you set your blitz. That's the greatness of Brady. But if you're just rushing four and you're getting home, who did that really well? Who got home on Tom Brady really well? The New York Giants in both of their Super Bowls. They were able to get to Tom Brady without a blitz, just straight up run after him. And don't tell me Philly last year. You know, I had somebody call up my show this week, and they were talking about, well, Philly did this. Philly did nothing to stop Tom Brady, set every Super Bowl record for a quarterback. Do not tell me that Philly did anything against Brady. Philly exploited Bill Belichick's defense, not Tom Brady. Tom Brady has been fantastic in the Super Bowl, but the times when he has looked less than fantastic has been with upfront pressure that you don't have to send blitzers. And the Rams can generate that. I think the key here, look, we know Aaron Donald's going to be good. To me, the key is in Ndamukong Suh, Tim. Ndamukong Suh, if he is able to get that upfront pressure, he's able to be that complement, all of a sudden this is a whole new ball game.
Time for our first time out on a Sunday night. Second back after this, we're going to discuss what do the Rams do when they have the ball. Tom will break that down for us. It's a super Sunday night, a week away from the super big game. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Defense on me.
Okay, Petey, don't you drift to the strong side.
Coach, they're calling a holding penalty on me every time.
Did I ask for your excuses? You want to act like a star? You better give me a star effort. Do you hear me?
Forget about him. Allen, you're in. Come on.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure that they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
Remember the night they played the Patriots, Tom Barton, Super Bowl Sunday coming up. It'll be February the 3rd, Atlanta, Georgia. Tom, we talked about Patriots, what they have to do. You mentioned Gurley earlier in the show. You mentioned Sue and Donald being forces defensively. What else do the Rams have to do here to win this game?
You know, the Rams just basically have to be in a position where they don't get in their head before time. I know that it's difficult to imagine that professional teams get beat, you know, before they take the field, but there are very few teams in sports that have an intimidation factor. Tom Brady does. You know, I said it about Kansas City last week. When we were previewing the Kansas City Patriots game, what did I say to you? I said, the last thing Kansas City wants is a close game late because they're going, uh-oh. And you play your game differently, Tim. You play your game differently than you would any other quarterback, saying, listen, think about it like this. Patrick Mahomes went out, scored a late touchdown. Every single Chiefs fan should have been ecstatic. Tim, I was getting texts from Chiefs fans, texts from Patriots fans, texts from people that were not even barely sports fans, and what did they all say? Oh, man, 2 minutes, 4 seconds left? You left Brady too much time. And coaches will coach differently with that thought and process in mind that Brady is the most dangerous player that's ever laced up a pair of cleats. He is the most dangerous player because you'll coach differently. I think it's twofold for the Rams. Number one, you do not want to get behind to a point where you have to switch your game plan. And I'm not talking about a massive hole. I'm not talking about 21-0 or something like that. I'm talking about, you know, late in the third quarter, you're down 10, maybe 14. That will switch your game plan. That will switch how you approach the game. And the big thing is this, don't be afraid. Don't switch up your game plan, your play calling, to avoid, uh-oh, we don't want to give Brady the ball again. We don't want to do this. And so many teams do that. They are intimidated by Brady, rightfully so, but they're intimidated by Brady. They're intimidated by Belichick. You've got to come out. You've got to do, you know, you've got to kill them three times. You know, it's a quote, Ian O'Connor, who wrote the Bill Belichick book, right? I heard him say that. You got to kill them three times. And that's who the Patriots are. It's not good enough, Tim, to get a, you know, let's say a 10-point lead. It's not good enough to have a fourth-quarter lead. It's not good enough to have Patrick Mahomes throw a touchdown with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left in the game to take the lead. None of that's good enough. You have to kill them and kill them and kill them again. And you have to be able to coach that way. I mean, to me, we talked about Jared Goff, and yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Jared Goff, and there is on this defense, obviously. Marcus Peters has been a very weak spot this year. They're going to attack him. There's pressure on a lot of players. There's no more pressure in this game than there is on Sean McVay, who is going head-to-head with Bill Belichick. Last year, Doug Peterson got the better of that. Don't for any, not even a second, make any kind of different notion, but Doug Peterson got the better of Bill Belichick last year. It was a scoring fest. He got the better of his defense. We'll see this year. You cannot come in scared, and I think so many teams do. They'll never admit it, Tim, but they do. They coach scared, and they play scared when you're playing up against Tom Brady.
Just got a text in from one of our great listeners. Steve Roy asks you, Tom, and this might be the only reason to visit the state of South Dakota, but Mount Rushmore is there. Obviously, that's the sculpture there in the mountain range of, what is that? I think it's the Black Hills region, they call it. But Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt. Steve wants to know which president's face comes off the mountain if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl.
It's Roosevelt.
Right.
pretty easy for me. I mean, you know, if you follow my politics, it's Roosevelt without a problem. I mean, I like him, but let's be real. You know, I think the better question would be, here's a question for you, Steve, and for everybody else out there. Who is the four faces on the Mount Rushmore of New England Patriots? Brady, Belichick, 1-2. Who's 3-4?
Yes, Steve, you need to chime in on that. He is all Patriots man there. So
yeah, do you put Teddy Bruschi on there? Do you put a guy like Moss? I don't think he was there long enough. Do you go back and put someone that wasn't part of this dynasty? Do you put Gronkowski? I think you probably put Gronkowski. So who's the fourth? Welker? Edelman? I mean, you have a lot to choose from in that situation. You know, especially, you know, through all the years. So that's a good question to throw back at him. We know it's Brady. We know it's Belichick. Who's next? You know, who's next? And you can't put Kraft. Don't give me Kraft. That's a cop-out.
Looks like you struck a nerve. Here we go. Steve Roy says you put John Hannon on there. John Hanna. Host of Out of Line here on Fox Sports Radio, Brian Feldman checking in, says you put Robert Kraft on there, Tom.
Yeah, it's great. I agree with Feldman because, yeah, that was my thought. Yeah, you got to put him on there. But he's an owner. Let's take him out. Let's say he's ineligible. Okay? That would make a lot of sense. But let's take him out. You can't put Robert Kraft because he is the owner. I mean, look, I'm a Yankee fan, and as much as I like, I really like Steinbrenner, you know, you're not putting Steinbrenner on there. There's no owner in the history of sports is going to be on there, even though I think Kraft deserves to be. So let's say Kraft is making the mountain and doesn't want to be egotistical, right? Give me who's the next guy.
What about?
Is it McDaniels? Is it Josh?
How is Vinatieri not on there? I mean, he won two Super Bowls single-handedly.
There you go. There you go, Vinatieri.
Brady didn't win those. I mean, Vinatieri won those, man. Come on.
Yeah, you sound like some of the knuckleheads that I've been listening to, yeah.
I sound like a guy I heard tonight say that.
Somebody said that tonight. Like, did you hear them on the radio? Was it a caller or was this an actual host?
It was a host.
You don't want to say.
Yeah, right, okay. It was a host. And he was serious about it. He was serious.
Listen, we're not bashing him. We're bashing his opinion. I'd love to have him on and tell him how wrong he is. You know?
There's people listening right now that are laughing with us, Tommy. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of the dumbest statements that I've ever heard. It's just purely stupid. That is somebody saying something, Tim, I think, to get, you know, a charge, to get us talking about it. Not necessarily us, but to get people talking about it. Because you can't seriously sit back and believe that a kicker is as important in any way, shape, or form to a star quarterback.
Right.
In no way, shape, or form. Go back through the history and the annals of football, and I'll give you great teams with great situations and teams that won with a kicker at the end, and then I'll ask you who the kicker was. Right?
Right.
Who's the kicker for the 72 Dolphins, Tim?
I'm sure he's
pretty good, right?
Yeah, he must be, but...
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they relied upon kicking pretty good back then.
He's not memorable.
Who's the kicker then? Yeah, exactly. So Vinatieri did it at the end. He did it in the right situation. Vinatieri, I'm trying not to take anything away, but that is purely just a stupid, ignorant statement.
So do we want to talk about some of these propositional bets, Tom, a little bit before? I know next weekend we're going to do that, but you want to touch on a couple there? Because I know that the sheets were released, and I've seen some good ones, man.
Yeah, throw some out at me. Let's have fun with this. I went over on the Sports Garden show. I went over a lot of the prop bets and which ones stuck out at me, but I didn't get into the player prop bets, which I have lined up this week. So throw some out at me if you want to go regular prop bets or you want to go player. Let's talk about it.
What is one that you, when you look at, let's just talk about, for instance, the easy ones, you know, people just bet on just to have a bet on. I would mean coin toss. And some of these get so crazy that obviously you can't bet them here in Vegas for obvious reasons, but offshore you can definitely get to them. We've always had fun with it, the anthem, the Gatorade color, things like that. That's, you know, especially with just more and more, with the sport becoming bigger and bigger every year, it seems like those offshore, those guys just must take a rake in there when they start getting these props to come in.
Yeah, you know, I will say this, though. It's very interesting what with the new scene here on the East Coast, and I have to call it the East Coast because Pittsburgh's up and running and doing well. Outside of Philadelphia is up and running and doing well, so it's not only New Jersey, but it's pretty funny what that has done to the industry. I mean, it's made a massive, massive, massive dent on Las Vegas, and it's only getting worse. But what it's done to the industry is it's competitive now. So FanDuel, with the mobile app, FanDuel is going after DraftKings, and DraftKings is now going after SugarHouse, and SugarHouse is going after MGM, and they're all going back and forth. Do you know what the coin toss is sitting at, Tim, and the national anthem is sitting at? Minus 102. Hmm. And a minus 102 across the board. That's interesting when you're talking about it, and for people that don't know, I'm sure that you do if you're listening, in Las Vegas, minus 110 is just the standard bearer. You know, you walk into a casino, you want to lay points or take points or whatever it is, it's minus 110. You might get a 115 if it's leaning the other way. You might get a 105. It's massively rare that you get a 102, and that's what the prop bets are across the board. Me, you, and Shap sat there, and we watched some guy with a massive bet a couple of years ago during the Carolina game, the massive bet on the total. On the over for the national anthem. You know, I can't rip people apart for betting on anything. Okay, look, you want to bet, go ahead. You won't have fun with it. But you're now betting. You're not handicapping. You don't have an advantage. Don't tell me you did research and you could tell me what the heads or tails is. It's silly. It's a silly argument. You want to say you want to go out there and have fun with it, go ahead. But the people that are putting massive money on it, that's crazy to me. That's right. Absolutely nuts to me.
We already know Tails is going to be the winner this year, so.
I take Tails every year.
Yeah. All right, so let's do some player ones instead of rather than the team ones. And we'll start with one you liked last week, I know. Tom Brady, over 282 yards passing. It's I'm looking at 110s both ways.
Yeah, let me tell you why I like that. And I just took this in both the divisional round and last week in the championship game. It has been pretty low. Tom Brady, in the last 13 years, you have to go back, since 2013, to find a playoff game where he threw for under 287 yards. You have to go back to 2010 to find a game where he threw it for under 288 yards. So, yeah, I like this one. I think Brady's, we can talk about the rushing attack, and we can talk about this and that. 300 yards is not what it used to be, Tim, right? I mean, you're getting, you're talking about 150 yards per half, which now you're talking about 75 yards per quarter. He could get 75 yards on a drive nowadays. I look at the total, whether you like the over-under or not, the books are expecting some points to be scored. So, I think that is one of the better ones that are sitting out there. Tom Brady over the 282.
And these odds are courtesy of the Westgate. I think in this case, too, Tom, you really sit in a good situation if it's a high-scoring game. I think you have to look at the fact that they're going to get some yards racked up here. But say for some reason the Rams come out and blitzkrieg them and they get out to a nice lead, they're going to have to throw the ball the rest of the way, and I think you can move into an over really easily at that point.
Yeah, I mean, this is a this is a weird game plan. Do you believe that these teams are going to count on Gurley and Sonny Michel, or are they going to count on their number one overall draft pick and Tom Brady? And that's all you have to look at. If you believe that, you know, you're going over. If you don't, you're going under. It's that simple.
And there may have been some movement on the lines here. I'm looking at something that's not current as of today. Touchdowns, Brady, 2. Over, under.
I like the over. You know, I think at worst, you push there, right? And you can kind of handle. I can handle a push there, which I think he definitely gets to 2. Does he get to 3? I think he does. I think it's a safe, solid, you know, bet. If you're going to go out there and you're picking a player prop, Tom Brady over 2 makes a lot of sense.
Okay, his counterpart, Jared Goff, Tom, 286 on the passing yards.
I tend to think that this is good also, because if the Rams are playing well, I think it's got to be funneled through Jared Goff. If they're playing poorly, he's going to get yards, right? If they're playing poorly, it doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be that situation. So I like it. I don't like it nearly as much as Brady, but I like it.
I mean, you like the 2 touchdowns? It's even on the over.
Yeah. The touchdowns are hard. It's so hard right now for me to make any prop plays because I have to see Gurley. I have to see him practice this week. If Gurley's healthy, I like it. Because when they get inside the goal line, all of a sudden he becomes that pass-catching threat. Right? If he's not healthy, they're going to go to C.J. Anderson. Think about it. If you're on the 6-yard line, are they going to just run it with Gurley? No, they hardly ever do. They do a flip-out pass to him. They get him in space, and that'll give you Goff's over-under. But if not, if he's not healthy, I don't expect C.J. Anderson to be a pass-catching back. They're going to plow it, roll it low with their head, and try to run it.
If Gurley's healthy, Tom, does he score a touchdown? Yes, is minus 160.
Yeah, well, that's what it all is. I mean, is he healthy? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't believe that he is right now. The reports that I'm going to speak to a lot of people from the Rams this week. I'm going to speak to people very close to the situation. And I'll get a better indication of how he's moving out there, what he's doing, how he looks out there. But it is, to me, it's indicative. And again, I sat around with Rams players, or with Rams press last week, and I asked them all. And they said, Gurley wasn't listed on the injury report, but everybody kind of thought Gurley wasn't himself. So I want to see that feeling again. I don't care what the injury report says. I'm going to ask people that are familiar with the team. I'm going to ask people, you know, ex-athletes, you know, listen, is this guy healthy? That's the key, Tim.
What about the Pats backs? Sonny Michel, I'm looking at 76 yards rushing. Total receiving yards, 0.5.
I don't like Michel to catch the ball, but I do think he's going to have a pretty good game. 76 yards, that's pretty good. They've been going to him more. Even if the Patriots are losing, you know that they're going to try to at least stick with the run. I like the over for Sonny Michel.
It says total receptions 0.5. So is it worth a gamble just to hope that he catches a ball somehow, some way?
Yeah, I mean, why not, right?
Right.
You could throw it out there, sure.
Now, his counterpart on the same team, James White, I know you like James White a lot, Tom, and I think he's like our secret weapon here for the Patriots this week.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players in the league, as a matter of fact. I am a huge, huge James White fan. I've had him in fantasy ever since he came up. You know, he's one of those players I just enjoy watching. I watch him, like to watch him play. And I think he's now, all of a sudden, the guy with Tom Brady. When things get crazy, when the pocket collapses, he used to just automatically look to Gronk. You know, right now, I think he has a lot of faith in James White. I'll probably be on every James White over.
About the big guy, Gronk, over 49.5 yards, receiving over 3.5 total receptions. Those are all minus money, minus 110. And some value if you think Gronk gets in the end zone, Tom, at a plus a $1.70.
He might get in the end zone, but I don't like the over 49.5. I think a lot of that number, Tim, is based on sentiment rather than what we've watched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of that number is based on the idea of, well, you know, Gronk might retire, so Brady might try to get him the ball. Yeah, I believe that there is a small portion of that, but I also believe that there's also the idea, Tim, of, you know, okay, maybe he'll try to get him the ball, but I think he's been probably trying to get him the ball for the last 2 months, and he hasn't done so. I mean, Rob Gronkowski, on paper, is a matchup nightmare, but he hasn't looked the same. Now, you talk to me about last week, and you go, well, look, what did Gronk look like last week? Oh, he looked great, right? But he really looked great on just the last drive. And just the last drive is really where Tom Brady just looked at him and said, I trust the guy. I trust my guy that's been here with me for how long? And he went to Edelman and Gronk. I don't expect this game, or you almost can't expect this game, come down to the wire again. And you just look at the numbers. You look at what Gronk's done over the last couple of weeks, over the last couple of months, I should say. Even the entire season. And under 49.5 makes sense.
Yeah, we saw in that game, I think it was Tony Romo doing the color, basically said this is the time, you know, third or fourth down. Your option is the guy. You go to the guy. And they couldn't, you know, you saw Kansas City, they couldn't do anything about it, Tom, on third down. It's like you said, it's either Gronk making the catch or Edelman. And they basically knew what was going to happen and couldn't stop it. I think you might see a situation like that. Maybe they come out, like you said earlier in the show, maybe they come out just guns a-blazing and Gronk gets hot early. Maybe that's something we can look forward to. Out of the receivers on both sides, Edelman, Hogan, Cooks, Woods, guys like that, which of these guys are you looking at may possibly value if you're going to play a receiver?
You know, none of them. I think I'm going to be playing Burkhead and White. You know, I'm thinking about it. To me, again, I look at handicapping from a defensive or an offensive coordinator standpoint, right? So if I'm an offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, where am I going to take advantage? I'm going to take advantage of the middle of the field and those linebackers. And how do I do that? With Burkhead and White. I know everyone's going to go crazy for Edelman. Edelman's numbers, though, are pretty large. People love Edelman. They know how good he is. Gronkowski's numbers are a little inflated. I don't think people fully caught on to the idea of how good White and Burkhead are. And Burkhead's a secondary guy, by the way. Burkhead's that guy, hey, listen, you know, there's also Burkhead, right? Mm-hmm. You have that option of, oh, there's also Burkhead, and he's getting a pretty good number. So, yeah, I wouldn't go after Hogan. I think he's a little inflated. Edelman's a little inflated. Gronk's a little inflated. If you're going to go after anything, I'd be going after the running backs.
Nothing from Brandon Cooks, the expatriate who had to. He was knocked out of the game last year in the Super Bowl, if you remember.
I think Woods is their guy. I know Cooks has the big playability, but I think I think Woods is their player. The question is this: we know over the course of his entire career, Bill Belichick has absolutely no shame in telling people, what do I do? How is my defense funneled? Take away their best option. That's how he funnels the defense, Tim. Just take away their best option. Take away the best option. Who's the best option? Who does he believe is the best option? I think he still believes that Cooks is the best option. And if Cooks is the best option, and he's going to try to take away the best option, that's not good for doing anything on the over-under, but it leaves Woods pretty wide open.
Total solo plus assisted tackles by either Aaron Donald or Sue, 3.5.
I don't like it because, again, I think they're going to be running away from them. Mm-hmm. I expect very little runs up the middle of the field. Very little. And, again, people don't realize defense, and you don't realize how important Sue and Donald are not necessarily how many tackles they get. It's how much they clog up to allow the linebackers to come up and make the tackle. Defensive tackles don't often make a lot of tackles. So, yeah, I don't like either one of those.
We saw the ability of New England to get to Mahomes last week in the AFC title game. A few sacks there for the Patriot D, and there's some heavy juice on the, if you like the Patriots over a sack and a half in this game, Tom, you're going to lay $1.80.
And that's the only way that I like it. You know me. I usually take sacks over every single Super Bowl, and it's usually about 4 in every single Super Bowl. This year it's 3.5, and I don't love it. I don't love it because Tom Brady was sacked 21 times all year, third least in the league. So I'm saying to myself, all right, let's say Brady has a bad game, right, and he gets sacked once, maybe even twice. That means you need those 2 for the Patriots. Do I think the Patriots can get to Jared Goff twice? Yeah, I think I think 2 is about the number. I don't see either one of his defenses getting 3 sacks, so I'm going to be laying off of the overall total as well. I may actually go on the under. I think 3 sacks is pretty good. Might get 4, but I think 3 is where it's going to live.
And give me the odds on the favorite. The money makers in the past, Tom, I've sat there next to you when you've had tickets in your hands for safety, overtime, defensive touchdown. Those have all come back down to earth now.
Yeah, they've all. I can't believe. Our buddy, who, by the way, I hope you are getting better out there. Fernando wrote in. He's healing up. So I hope you're healing up. And he said, he likes overtime. He likes the safety. When I was betting it, and I sound like the get off my lawn guy now. When I was betting it back in my day, you were getting 10-1, 12-1 on these. Now it's 6-1 this year. I'm not going anywhere near it. I'll tell you, you know the prop play that I like a lot this year, Tim. And I'll give it to all the listeners because I enjoy it. Plus 190 over under 1.5 yards for the shortest touchdown. I like the over, Tim. I'll take the idea that there isn't a 1-yard touchdown at almost 2-1 odds. I think that's a fantastic play this year.
Free play from Tom Barton Sports right there. Free prop play from Tom Barton Sports if you're listening. And we're going to move into hour number 2 here on a Sunday night. Big Mountain West basketball matchup here in the state of Nevada coming up Tuesday over at the Thomas and Mack Center as the highly ranked Nevada Wolfpack will come to town in the battle for the Silver State. We'll break that game down on the other side of the timeout. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.